I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. Sing for all that you've done for me.
Well, a very good morning and welcome to St. Mary's. It's really good to see you here. It almost feels a little bit like when we change the clocks. Some people kind of arrive maybe a little bit early if you're used to the kind of the 9 o'clock start. It might be that people emerge at 10:30 this morning, if anybody was expecting a 10:30 sermon. We will let them in with the grace that we've just been hearing about from the band. It's really good to see you. Thank you for being here. A really warm welcome. Lots of faces for this really special service of celebration, this really special service of goodbye, this really special service of realizing that goodbyes don't mean a kind of a complete cut-off. We will be here next week. Matt and Emma and Toby will be enjoying some time away next week. Life goes on. It's really good to be here to celebrate what has been and to give thanks to God, to celebrate what is and to celebrate what God's still to do in all of us, wherever we find ourselves during the week ahead. My name is Simon. I'm the Associate Vicar here, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to St. Mary's. As we gather this morning, we gather together in the company of a cloud of witnesses. I wonder if some of you, particularly like at sport, you've maybe been watching Wimbledon in the last week, that kind of great centre court arena. It might be that you like the Olympics and athletics. My family are particularly into athletics. And the Bible reminds us that as we gather together, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, is how the Bible describes it. It's like a cheering crowd around us. No, actually, as we look around the church this morning, you sort of look a little bit like a cheering sports crowd, encouraging faces, smiling and willing each other on in life and in Christian discipleship. But the Bible also reminds us that that's not just true of the people here this morning, it's also true of all the people who have gone ahead of us in faith. The Bible says that actually there's one who's already blazed a trail down the track, and that's Jesus, who kind of, if this was the track, it's almost as if Jesus is kind of not just running the race ahead of us, but actually is kind of beyond the finishing line, kind of waving at us and kind of cheering us on. And then you've got the Holy Spirit, who's alongside us, the Bible says, running in parallel with us and encouraging us on. So I wonder whether we could kind of enact a little bit of that race this morning. I need two volunteers who are going to be our two runners. Two volunteers to be our two runners. Josh, your hand was up very quickly. Come out. Pete, your hand was up very quickly. Come out. Excellent. So come up and stand with me here. Now, we want to make sure that we've got ready. Josh, I'm so pleased that you've got trainers on. You're looking ready for a race already, but I've got a kit bag here. Do you want to open it up and see what's inside? There's lots of zips there, but you've got the right compartment. Great, so pull out the first thing. Excellent. We have an England top. Put that on, if you can. That'd be great. Get us well into it. What else have we got in here? Let's have a look. A water bottle. Good. Excellent. Next thing. There we go. You can put that on there. Yes, for the moment. Great. A baseball cap. Actually, those are trainers in there, and you've already got trainers on, so we'll leave those in there. Perfect. You are ready to go. Excellent. Pete. Here we go. Let me show you what we've got for you. We have a couple of tea towels. Now, Josh, would you like to take this tea towel and tie it around Peter's feet? Please, we're going to tie his legs together. Excellent. Pete, do you need to do something with your glasses?
You don't need to put the blindfold on.
Let's see if we... Oh, I'm not sure how this is going to work. Excellent. You're looking well prepared, Pete, for a race. I'm also going to give you one or two burdens, OK? Put your hands out. Here we go. Hands out in front of you. Perfect. Excellent. There we go. Perfect. Good. Excellent. Josh, well done. Do you want me to have a go? You're doing very well. Here, hold the microphone. Oh. We'll leave it like that. We'll leave it like that. Excellent. I'm going to count you down, okay? What I'd like you to do is to offer words of encouragement to Josh here. He's going to run down, and you win the race when you get to Stephanie, who's going to wave at the back. Excellent. Run towards Stephanie. That is the finishing line. You are competing against Pete. Okay? Here we go. Ready, steady, go! Excellent. It would be fair to say, Josh, that you've won the race. Well done. Can we give Josh a clap? And can we give Pete a clap as well?
Thank you.
Great. Well done. Well done, Pete. I'm not sure where your glasses are, but I'm sure you've got them. It's a reminder to us that in life's race, God has given us each other to encourage us and to spur us on. God has given us everything that we need. The Bible says that we're to throw off the sin and the stuff that gets in the way, the things that tie us up, that entangle us and that weigh us down, the things that discourage us and demotivate us. We're to throw off those things and to run the race that's set out before us. And so as we start our service this morning, we're going to have just a few moments of quiet and some words of confession that are going to appear on the screen. Let's have those words up. Thanks, Daniel. And we're going to remind ourselves, first of all, of those words from Hebrews. And then we're going to make our prayer of confession together. Here's what Hebrews says. Since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also throw aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, looking to Jesus in penitence and in faith. Let's just have a few moments now where we can recall to mind those perhaps burdens, perhaps things that we've thought or said or done that we know haven't been pleasing to God, but equally we know haven't been pleasing to other people, even to ourselves. Let's just have a couple of moments where we can name those things in the quietness of our hearts, and then we'll lay those burdens down before God. Would you join in the words in bold? Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have not lived by our own strength, we are not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. Let me say this prayer over us. Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins, open our eyes to God's truth, strengthen us to do God's will, and give us the joy of his kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as those who have recognised in whose presence we gather, as those who have thrown off those things that entangle and get in the way, let's stand up and we're going to sing together, Be Bold, Be Strong. Let's stand together.
Let's sing together, be bold. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, for I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on, I'm walking in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, for I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on, I'm walking in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you.
Amen, amen. Speak, O Lord.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over our belief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled. And by grace we'll stand. And by grace we'll stand on your promises. And by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Please do have a seat. And I'm going to pray for us as our service continues, and for our children who are now going to leave us. So if you're aged under 11, or you're in Little Sparks, your parents are going to come with you. It's a kind of a self-access Little Sparks area this morning. But if you're aged under 11, then Rachel and Nick are going to be with you during this bit of the service. So let me pray for us all, whether we're staying here or going. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here with us by your Spirit. And we thank you that you're with us wherever we go. We thank you that whether we stay here now or whether we take our leave, thank you that you go with us. And so we pray that you would be with our children this morning. Thank you for those who are taking care of them. We pray that you bless them all. And as they leave now, go with them, even as you're with us who stay here, as we listen to your word and have it explained to us. We thank you for all of these things in your name. Amen. Great. Well, children, if you're leaving us, leave us now. That would be great. Rachel and Nick are already making their move. I can see. Have a really great time where you go to. And we're going to have our two readings this morning. And I think Bev is reading for us first and Jason as well. Great. Guys, do come up.
The first reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, reading verses 1 to 17. It can be found on page 72 of the New Testament section of the Church Bibles. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the labourer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. Here ends the first reading.
Our second reading this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you want to come down here, or are you happy there? Are you happy there? That's fine. It's my best side. Good morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us here this morning. And help us, your family, your church, your body, your people, to hear your word and praise your name. Amen. Well, this is it. It's felt a bit like the long goodbye, I have to say. Emma and I have known since March 2018 that we will be leaving. So in some ways, it feels like a bit of a relief to get to this point. And in some ways, it's really, really sad. This is my final sermon to you in my role as vicar of this parish and this amazing church community. And I want to begin by saying a huge thank you. Thank you for your prayers and support for me and for Emma and for Toby and for Molly over the past 5 years. Thank you for the encouraging emails, for the gifts and cards we've received, especially in the last few weeks, and the encouraging conversations that I've had. We are going to miss being here. Since arriving in 2014, I have gained more grey hair and also some varifocals. Emma and I have seen Molly through university, get married here a few weeks ago, and move into full-time employment. And Toby has reached the end of his school career, just finishing his A-levels. It's been a real privilege to spend many hours with many of you sharing in ministry, in grief and loss, in joy and thankfulness, in friendship and support, and with plenty of food, coffee, the occasional pint or glass of wine along the way. We have begun the exciting adventure of the Avonside Mission Area, which is increasingly leading to growth and to kingdom fruit. We've enjoyed, or some of you endured, many changes, experiments, false starts, and ministry surprises. We've built on the work of previous generations. We've seen God's faithfulness and hand at work amongst us. This has been a special place for me and for us as a family. And whilst we're sad to be leaving Bristol, we're also convinced that this is God's call on our lives and that it's God's kingdom that we are serving. A number of people have expressed surprise at our move north, including some of my colleagues. But in the kingdom of the world, it doesn't make a right lot of sense. But in the kingdom of God, it makes a whole lot of sense. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, based on the two passages that we've heard, seeking to live in the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of the world. So often that is a really tough choice, perhaps especially for those of us who are wealthy. Let's begin with the reading from the Hebrews. No one knows who wrote this letter. If you want to turn it up, I think it's page 241 in the Bibles around the churches. And no one knows who's written this letter or who the letter was written to precisely, but we know that it was written to the early church. And one of the main messages of the letter is, don't fall back into your old religion. Don't fall back into your old religion, in this case of Judaism. Don't fall back. Keep on in your faith. Don't fall back into the religion of mere church going. Don't fall back into the kingdom of the world. Rather, the letter calls us, exhorts us to press into, to claim and live in the new life we have been given, the new way of living as followers of Jesus, as his disciples, to discover and own the promises of God made known in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Chapter 10, verse 19 reminds us that Jesus has taken away the barrier that divided us from God by dying in our place. More than that, he's taken those of us who follow Jesus right into the very presence of God. Our home, our identity, is in the throne room of God. He is our King, we are his people, our home is his kingdom, living in his ways. Jesus makes each of us welcome. Not because we deserve it, but because God loves us and gives it to us, and we are prepared to accept that invitation. That is the good news of Jesus. Verse 21 reminds us that Jesus is representing us as our heavenly priest now in the present, speaking for us, presenting us holy before the fullness of God. We are children of God, citizens of the kingdom now. Our current sermon series has reminded us of the barrier set up by humanity's fall away from God in Genesis 3. We see evidence of that fall everywhere in the world. Every time we see the news or are victims or perpetrators of sinful, ungodly behavior. We've been reminded that the consequence of this was the impenetrable barrier between us and God, preventing us from being fully with God. That barrier was physically represented by the Jerusalem temple curtain, which separated the Holy of Holies, God's presence from his people, a physical representation of it. And that same curtain, we're reminded, was torn in two by God at Jesus' death. That barrier is gone for those who believe in Jesus. We have unfettered access to God, God's love and healing power and promises. We have the freedom to live under the kingship of Jesus, under the sovereignty of God, in the kingdom of God. We have become God's people, receiving God's promises and God's provision, which is very good news. And yet, it is so easy to forget about that good news and slip back into our old ways. Why is that so easy? Well, it's getting much harder to be a Christian in this country, I think, which is a good thing. I think, because it's highlighting the difference between being a Christian and not being a Christian. That difference is growing as society continues to change. Following Jesus is becoming an increasingly different way of life, and living that difference can be really tough. There is a famous joke that the Church of England people don't lose their faith, they just forget where they've put it. I think that was probably true a few years back, maybe half a generation ago. Now I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that the truth in that humour is still accurate. There is a lot of evidence of the rise of the nuns, and that's not some sort of new horror film. It's an increase in those who tick none when they're asked what faith or religion do they have or follow. It's increasing everywhere. Even here in Stoke Bishop, if you look at the stats, there remain many people who rightly see this as the parish church, as the church who are here to serve them. But in a generation's time, we run the risk of that not being true. These are all symptoms of the decline of the influence of the church and of Christian faith, the decline in numbers of those who call themselves Christians and come to church. This rapidly changing context makes it so easy to fall away from the truth of the good news of the gospel. The miraculous and great gift of our free access to love and presence, the love and the presence and the promises of the living God through Jesus, it makes it all too easy to slip back into the kingdom of the world, trusting in our own gifts and our talents and abilities, relying on our wealth and our worldly wisdom, relying on ourselves and what we own, and forgetting the immense riches and promises of God. Relegating our faith in Jesus Christ to a Sunday-only thing that we do when we can fit it into our lives. That slippage isn't something that most of us choose. It's something that just happens when we lose sight of the grace and the riches of God. And that's a danger for all of us. So what's the antidote to this? How can we prevent this slippage and live in the kingdom? Firstly, by speaking of God. I leave this church and the mission area hugely encouraged. Increasingly, I hear people speaking about the reality of their faith and the impact of it on their daily lives, the reality of a relationship with Jesus and the difference that makes. In the past couple of weeks alone, I've heard people talk about how they're telling people at work that they're Christians, that they're praying for friends and neighbors, that they believe God has brought them healing, that they trust in the Lord in their difficult circumstances or health, that they are learning that God is faithful. I hear people speaking about how they are living in the kingdom of God. These are real connections with the living God in real lives outside Sundays. We're bringing our faith out into the open, and that's fantastic. And as I leave, I want to encourage you and encourage myself as well to continue in that, to increasingly boast in God's work in your lives, to share what God is doing, because that encourages each of us to continue to hold fast to our faith. And it helps those who don't yet believe to see God, the real living God, really at work in the real world. And if you're here this morning and you'd say you don't know the reality of God in your life, then you are most welcome to join in. to ask God to reveal himself, to touch your life, and to be open to that happening. As I reflect on our last 5 years' journey, these God conversations are a welcome change in the life of this church. Those of you who've been around and have kind of gone through the two surveys that we've done will know that we've self-identified as not being very good at speaking about our faith. That's changing. And I pray that this new confidence in God and the reality of faith in God leads to new people coming to know the life and the hope and the love of God. I pray that in the next 12 months, you will see new people coming to faith, being baptized in this very building. Living in God's kingdom means speaking about how God is working in our lives. That's the first antidote. The second is this, returning to the Hebrews passage, living in God's kingdom means provoking one another. Just gently provoke the person next to you by giving them a small poke in the ribs. It's very gentle. If you don't know them very well, perhaps you might not want to do it. But just poke them. Provoke them. Hebrews calls us to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Provoke one another to love and good deeds, says that passage we heard from Hebrews 10. Our church community and the mission area is the main vehicle for doing that. Last week, as an example, we heard from David and Lucy Swithinbank, who stood just here at the 10:30 service and spoke about their involvement in the food bank hosted by our mission area partner church in Avonmouth. Real difference being made to real people by the church community, inspired by God's love for others. And that sharing has provoked others to do likewise. There are examples most weeks from the front or on the notice sheet of these provocations to love and good works. Living in the kingdom of God is about provoking one another to love and good works. And then thirdly, there is a challenge in this passage. The third way to prevent slipping back into the kingdom of the world. It is a key factor in provoking to love and good works, and it is meeting together. It is very difficult to provoke in an empty space. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 25 of chapter 10, "Do not neglect to meet together." It was an issue then too. It's really good to see you all here this morning. It's lovely to see people who've moved to other churches. It's lovely to see people from my previous church as well, sitting right at the back. Hi, Phil. There are people here from across Emma and my and Toby's life for the last 13 years or so in Bristol. But aside from Remembrance, Christmas, and Easter, I suspect this is the fullest the church has been since I was licensed. Possibly slightly less full than when David left. And I know that we're kind of meeting together. This is a joint service, so it's a bit different. I'm aware also that there are some people here who've delayed their holidays to be here, and I'm really humbled by that. Thank you so much for that. Look around. Look around you. There are quite a lot of people in here. Have a quick look. Look behind you. It's nice to see. It's good to see. Wouldn't it be great? Don't forget to look at the choir, by the way. They'll get... Wouldn't it be great if we continue to treat gathering together with a similar priority most weeks? You know, when you are not here, you are missed, and the church is poorer for it. I get that we have to go and see family at weekends and have holidays. I understand all that. Heaven knows I enjoy mine. But please don't slip into occasional church going. Don't forget where you put your faith. Don't slide out of the kingdom of God and back into the kingdom of the world through neglect. Continue to regularly meet together as a priority to encourage and provoke and share the good news of Jesus together. Whether that be on Sundays or in messy church or in midweek groups or in prayer triplets, meet together and provoke one another to love and good works. Living in God's kingdom means making time to meet with our fellow citizens, the family of God, the church, so that we can do that. And it means speaking about our faith. And finally, you'll be pleased to hear, Living in the kingdom of God is about being bold. For the Lord your God is with you, to quote the song that we had at the beginning of the service. Be bold, not comfortable. Throughout the Bible and in many of our testimonies, the kingdom of God is most clearly seen when we are bold. Isaac and Beth are very much like us. They were young, in their early 20s, no children yet, but they'd been married for a few months. They'd been following Jesus around Galilee with his staff team of 12 men and the women who followed him. They'd seen Jesus do some incredible things, healing people, teaching new exciting things about God's welcome and love and forgiveness, and he told great stories too. Jesus gave hope and life to people. He was so inspiring. What an amazing man. Such a buzz, such a privilege to follow him. A few days ago, Jesus had sent his staff team of 12 out. He told them that they too could do the things that he was doing. They were obviously a bit nervous at first to go and proclaim the kingdom, but they went. And they came back telling people God's stories of what God had done through them. They were totally pumped about it. It was great to hear how God was faithful as they did things in Jesus' name. Jesus took his staff team off for a bit of a rest, retreat, but we, as in Beth and Isaac, followed him with a whole load of other people, in fact around 5,000, heard more great stories and teaching and watched in awe as Jesus fed every one of us on the lake shore with food to spare. And then yesterday, Jesus turned to 70 other people who were following him, including Isaac and Beth, and sent them out to do what he did, and to do what his staff team of apostles had done, to talk about the good news of the kingdom and to heal the sick. Imagine what that felt like. Excitement, perhaps fear at doing it wrong, or worse, of rejection, maybe uncertainty. They would have needed to be bold, to trust that Jesus knows what he's doing, to step out. Imagine what those 70 felt as they walked off with no bag, nothing of their own to rely on. Imagine what it felt like going like a lamb into the midst of wolves. That was how Jesus described it. Not the most encouraging thing to say to people just about to go off. Just trust in Jesus. Imagine what that felt like. Well, Jesus sends me, and Jesus sends you, to do the same. Never trust your associate setting this lectern up. Jesus sends me, and Jesus sends you to do the same. He sends us, like he sent the 70, into our places of work and leisure, into our homes. My fellow lambs, we too are called to boldly go, trusting not on what we already have, on our wealth or our talents or our professional experience, but trusting in Jesus and being bold to speak and to act, to live in the kingdom of God, to provoke one another to love and good works, to take time together. In the coming months, it would be very easy to slip back into comfort as you wait for your new vicar. Please don't do that. Please continue to be bold. In fact, get bolder, not because of any sense of your own abilities, not because of what is in your bag, but because the Lord your God is with you and with us. Be bold. Luke 10 tells us that the 70 return with joy because it worked. They saw God at work in and through them. They spoke about it. They shared it as they met together with Jesus. They provoked one another to love and to good deeds. We are each to do likewise. We are each to speak about God's impact. Hold for a second. Hold that thought. We are each to do likewise. We are each to speak about God's impact in our lives. No matter how minor we might think that is. We are each to provoke one another to love and good deeds, to keep meeting together, and to be bold. Speak about God. Provoke one another, meet together, and be bold. At the end of that passage, it didn't really go all the way to the end, but at the end of the passage in Luke, Jesus reminds the 70 who return to rejoice that they know God. Not to rejoice at what they've seen happen through them, but to rejoice that their names are written in the book of life. Held it together all until now. The water. Jesus reminds them to rejoice that their names are written in the book of life. We start and end with the new life following Jesus and making him known. We begin from the throne room of God as citizens of heaven, living in the kingdom of God, where Jesus constantly welcomes each one of us. God bless you all. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you that you call each one of us in your name, and because of your death and resurrection, you invite us and welcome us into the very presence of God. Thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is accept that invitation, to believe in your words for us, to know a new life and a new way of living. Lord, I pray that if there are people in here who would like to do that for the first time, that even now they will be saying, yes, Lord, I want to accept your invitation to me. And Lord, I pray for those of us who've already accepted that invitation. I pray that we would continue to speak about who you are to us and about our experience of you, no matter how small that might seem. Help us to be those who speak boldly. Help us to be those who continue to meet together. Help us to be those who provoke one another to love and good deeds. Help us to be bold because you are with us. So go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted, honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for this community. Amen.
Good morning. We come to our time of intercessions now. A little bit later, we'll be praying for Matt and the family. So these prayers are going to focus on the world and others, using change and transitions as a theme. When I say faithful, unchanging God, please would you join in praying by responding, hear our prayer. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your countless blessings to us, your eternal faithfulness in times of change, your plans and purposes which underpin whatever seems uncertain, the certain hope and trust we can have in you, whatever the circumstances. We have so much to be thankful for and are mindful of those whose lives are a daily struggle and challenge. We pray for people everywhere having to cope with change and uncertainty and fear, in countries and places in the world where there is war, like Idlib in Syria at the moment, where rains have failed and there is impending famine, like in South Sudan, where too much rain has destroyed homes and livelihoods, like southeastern Africa, where corruption or gang violence devastates lives, such as in Iraq or Central America, and where there is no easy access to healthcare or education or clean water. We pray for hope and strength in these situations, transformed hearts by the power of your Spirit, and practical solutions which bring positive change and fresh beginnings. Faithful, unchanging God, hear our prayer. We pray for our country in this time of political uncertainty and governmental transition. We remember that the Bible tells us how you use unlikely people for your glory and purposes, and pray, Lord, that your will is done in the outcome of the leadership contest. We pray for good decision-making around climate change policies and for universal willingness to make changes which safeguard our planet. Faithful, unchanging God, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for ourselves and ask for your help and guidance in situations which bring change. We pray for those of us getting older with changing physical needs and practical decisions to be made. For anyone reaching retirement or facing work uncertainty. For people with life-impacting illnesses. For families whose grown-up children are leaving home, for children moving up a year or changing schools. Help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you, to trust you in every situation, and to know your presence with us. Strengthen our faith so that you are the source of light in the midst of change and our certain hope when we are unsure. Help us to provoke one another to prioritize following Jesus and to be bold in our faith. Faithful, unchanging God, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for people known to us whose lives are changed through illness and bereavement. We pray for your healing touch on hurting hearts, your comfort, strength, and peace in difficult situations. We pray this for members of our own church community, for others known to us, and for those who care for them. We thank you for the life of Jonathan Talbot and pray for his wife Elizabeth and their children Oliver and Amelia and all the family. And we name before you people from our own church family. We pray for Daniel, for Jill, for Adrian, for Barbie, for Jill, for Alistair, for Mary, for Linda, for Kate, for Renata, and for David. And in a moment of quiet, anyone else known to us. Faithful, unchanging God, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, as our service continues and we move towards gathering together around the Lord's table, we are going to stand and sing together of exactly what it is that we're about to do. So as the band come up, as the choir come out, can I invite you please to stand with us?
We have come together to encounter Christ today. Both by gathering together, we've encountered Christ. In hearing the worship, we encounter Christ. In the preaching of the word, we encounter Christ. And in our intercessions. As we come to this table, we encounter Christ again in our communion. And later, we'll even encounter Christ as we say farewell. Just a couple of kind of announcements of how this will happen today is we're going to have two stations where we'll offer communion. We'll have sides people that will let you know where to go. So kind of follow their direction and the people around you. The first area will be at the high table at the end of the church, and you'll come through the James Chapel. The second area will be between these two pillars from left to right. We're going to be doing communion in one arc. And so as people go back to their seats by this side, please just fill in and we'll continue to go through communion that way. Also, if you need gluten-free or non-alcoholic elements, then that will be available at the front as well. And just ask for that as you come forward. As we come now, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another a sign of peace. Peace be with you. 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 Okay, let's gather back together. We'll have lots of time to catch up afterwards. All the words that you'll need will be on the screen as we continue. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. We embrace us as children and welcome us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life. Our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made us all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrating his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church, throughout the world, we offer you the sacrifices of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song in heaven, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Please sit. We continue to gather our prayers together as our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Amen. Blood of Christ. Body 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 of Christ.
Thank you.
deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which Mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
I wonder if we could get the words up on the screen. I will not boast in anything, verse 3. It's that fact of what Jesus has done for us, that all we need is Jesus. So shall we stand together as church, stand together as family, and sing together, I will not boast.
I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love. Give us grace and open the gate of glory. May we who share in Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Bless in your hope. Have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Do please take a seat.
As some of you may know, this was John's first priestly presiding at a communion service. And we're doing this slightly the wrong way around for those of you who are purists. I'm now going to read him in so that he is enabled to serve as a priest. But it didn't fit anywhere else. So, my final act as your trainee incumbent.
Oh, geez.
The Church of England is part of one holy Catholic and apostolic church, worshipping the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It professes the faith uniquely revealed in the Holy Scriptures and set forth in the Catholic creeds, which faith the Church is called upon to proclaim afresh in each generation. Led by the Holy Spirit, it has borne witness to Christian truth in its historic formularies, the 39 Articles of Religion, the Book of Common Prayer, and the ordering of bishops, priests, and deacons. In the declaration you are about to make, will you affirm your loyalty to this inheritance of faith as your inspiration and guidance under God in bringing the grace and truth of Christ to this generation and making him known to those in your care? That is one long paragraph. John, that's your bit there.
I, John White, do so affirm and accordingly declare my belief in the faith which is revealed in the Holy Scriptures and set forth in the Catholic creeds, and to which the historic formularies of the Church of England bear witness. And in public prayer and administration of the sacraments, I will use only the forms of service which are authorized or allowed by canon.
Let's pray for John, shall we? Lord, thank you for John and for the beginning of this new ministry as priest. Thank you for his last year with us as deacon. And we ask that you will bless him as he goes forward, continuing to grow into his calling and leading us in mission and ministry and evangelism and being your priest amongst your people. Amen.
Amen.
Matt, it's been a really special service to be with God this morning and to be with you and the family. We've got lots of opportunities. You said that kind of the last 18 months have been quite a long goodbye, but we've got quite a lot of opportunities actually to say goodbye to you today. I'm sure you're getting goodbye fatigue. But we want to mark the end of this service just by praying for you and for Emma and for Toby. I wonder if there's anything that you want to say for us just before you kind of go on your way.
I think I will get another opportunity to say something this afternoon, so I don't want to be long. The only thing I want to say now is of kind of spiritual, I hope, significance, which is one of my colleagues is not prone to crying. He's totally like, nothing makes him cry. But whenever he leaves the church, he tears up. Those of you who know me will know I don't suffer with the same affliction of not knowing how to cry. But there's something about when you arrive as a vicar in a place, about the kind of cure of souls that you share with the bishop, which means that when you leave, you're breaking that cure of souls. And there's something quite emotional about that. I'm not going to talk any more about it because it set me off again. And I think that's the right thing, because we as priests are called to love the people whom we serve, and I do. And it's been a really great journey with you. As I leave, I'm well aware that there's a vacancy period coming up, and that kind of authority, if you like, that spiritual authority, will now rest in two places, with the wardens and also with Simon. So the wardens and Simon together have divided the stuff that I do between them. So you might find, it's my plea not to make Simon's life too busy, in effect. Anything that is physical and inanimate is the warden's responsibility. Anything that is animate and has life and is humanoid is Simon's responsibility, in effect, which includes the worship and stuff like that. So do just be aware of that as you go on, just to protect Simon from that. So thank you. I keep saying thank you all day. Thank you. It's been wonderful to be the vicar here. Whatever you have to do, do it now.
Matt, we are going to pray for you. We pray that prayer of kind of like you being released from your responsibilities here, but into the next phase of life and ministry. We are both gutted and excited to say goodbye. We're excited for all that God's got in store for you. We're gutted that you're leaving us here. We know that we'll stay in contact with you. Thank you for all that you have modelled to us of Jesus. Thank you for everything that we've seen of him in you. And I've got some words here. When I arrived here at St. Mary's, my key question when I came on interview is, have I got a partner in ministry? Here are some words as we finish. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. Let's pray for you. We started our service being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Matt, Toby, let's go to the centre of the church. Come out this way. Can I encourage you all to stand up? Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You might like to lay a hand on Matt, Emma, or Toby. If you're near, you might like to stretch out a hand, whatever you feel comfortable doing. And let me lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for partnership in the gospel. Thank you for your family. Thank you for that great cloud of witnesses that we remembered at the start of the service. Thank you for all of the people that you've put around us, both here and all the people that you are going to put around Matt and Emma and Toby in their new home. Thank you that you know the way ahead for us. Thank you that the future is yours. Thank you that you share it with us at just the right time. And so we pray now that you would help Matt, Emma and Toby to rest in your presence with them in the present, that when it's timely, that you would reveal to them the fullness of what you've got in store for them. Guide their steps
We pray that you would both help them to treasure the past and everything that you've led them through, but we also pray that you would release them, and particularly Matt in this instance, from his responsibilities here, and that you would help him as he goes on his way to stay steadfastly clinging to you, holding to you, his heavenly Father, and walking in your ways. We pray your blessing on him, on Matt, on Toby, on Molly and George, in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of God's people, that great cloud of witnesses, said, Amen. Amen. Our service is not quite over yet. Could I just encourage you guys back to your seats? We're going to join together in our offertory hymn. I'm going to be playing the organ, so Matt is going to be receiving the offering, I think. Matt, the plate's in its usual place. Lovely. So please remain standing if you're able. We're going to join together in our final hymn, and then Matt will bless us as we go into the next bit of the day.
So may the... Sorry, Brian, I've switched mics. So may the Father, from whom every family in heaven and in earth receives its name, strengthen you with his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that knowing his love broad and long, deep and high beyond our knowledge, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was fantastic. Thank you. That is a wonderful memory. Does anybody know what happens now? Coffee.
Coffee's good.
Coffee and cake. So there's coffee and cake that way down in the hall so that this room can be set up. If you've arrived here and you haven't planned to stay for lunch but would like to, you're very welcome to. So lunch will be served kind of after coffee, but the first thing is coffee is down there to my right. With cake, and that is the way that I and Emma and Toby will go. John may well go to the door at the back. And then join us for coffee afterwards, in case anybody wants to go that way. Bless you.